And I don't need no hook for this shit. Welcome. Bienvenue. Another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, and a.k.a. Gaston Lebanor. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, April 13, 2025. Today's episode is rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, Wrecking Liberland as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Fuck you too. Yeah, fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Continuing with tradition, I would want to acknowledge all the heartbeat of this thing of ours, this conversation, this podcast relationship, speaker, listener relationship. And yeah, like I said, it's a shout out to all you listeners. And before we continue, I need you to applaud yourselves. And if this happens to be your first time, welcome. I don't know what inspired you to hit the play button, but here's hoping that something I say throughout this episode resonates and causes us to make history together. All right. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and email address is ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com. In today's episode, titled 256, oh, wow, progress, kids, 256, titles still being determined, but it's I'm gonna react to a TikTok clip by Ka Aksa about something she said that about the idea of not being scared of not being appreciated, not being I'll leave it at that. And but before we get to today's feature thought, we will do some the usual quotes and some randomness. All right, let's all right, quotes and randomness. Why didn't I copy that there? Okay. Oh, sorry. Hey, kids. All right, let's start with today's quote. How much do I got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five, correct. Okay. All right. First quote goes, have the courage to be disliked. Second one goes is, have you noticed that beautiful people give compliments, rich people support, athletes train you like themselves, and only those who have nothing to be proud of look for ways to put you down? Yeah, like that. It reminds me of an idea I shared about, you know what? No, let me not complicate this conversation. All right, okay. Just appreciate what I just said. All right, next quote. The fears we don't face become our limits. And the author is Robin Sharma. It reminded me of a conversation I had in a previous therapy session about facing fears. And but I knew how not facing fears turns into limitations. And this is not an endorsement. But I have some VR glasses by Quest 3, the Meta of Quest 3. And there's this feature where, because it allows you to project images in your room through the VR glasses. So it's like, I'll put images and it looks like it's in the room with you, right? Anyways, but in order to have that feature, you have to, at the beginning, calibrate your unit and say, delimit your boundaries. That's the word it uses, right? Boundaries. So you just go around with your, I have my hands realizing that you can't see what I'm doing. But yeah, you got like your hands, your the hand, the thing, the, you put the, la manette, look, the, oh man, the, oh my God, the thing you hold with your hand, the joystick thingy. And you use it like a gun, and you tell it there's a wall here. You gotta like draw around and say, okay, these are my limits. Like, don't let me go past here because there's a wall there. There's a kitchen table there, you know, and things like that. So a way to like help it. It could do it automatically, but you could do it manually. Now I say all this simply because this was one time I was using it and I didn't realize that I made my boundaries so narrow. And I would move an inch, and it would like it scared me at first, but it was like, whoa, hey, it projected an image of a wall, kind of like a wall, but it was its way of saying, don't go past this because that's your limit. I say this because that's the image that I have of fear being a limit. It's like a wall imposed on you, that you impose on yourself. And again, the fears we don't face become our limits. Now, I am not preaching to you. Be careful. This is me reminding myself. I am not the person to preach to you about confronting your fears. I got my own fears that I'm dealing with. One day, maybe when I get through all my fears, then I'll feel proud enough to like preach to you about, yeah, you should do the same. Are you scared of a little spider? Okay, well, no. All right, take it easy. All right. next quote. Stop being the one who always makes the effort. Relax and let the ship sink. This is one of those things that I've, as I'm getting older, I've learned to appreciate. Fuck yeah, man. Sometimes you gotta let the ship sink. Ever been in a relationship where you're the only one flapping the wings? Oh, see, another reason why I appreciate this is because it reminds me of my days as a Christian, when I was a practicing Christian, but I had that belief. See, I saw it as we were all like how the whole idea of God using us, he works through us to accomplish miracles, and which is a noble idea. But I didn't realize what I was doing is I thought that also meant being the one wing that flaps, compensating for tolerating toxic behaviors, essentially, because you know, I'm like, okay, anytime now, God, do your thing. Like, putting in more energy than you should. And it was draining. It was draining. I'll admit, part of my lingering resentment with Christianity is shit like that. Even though it was my mistake, but it adds to the list on my bad experiences with Christianity. There we go. Yeah. All right. Last quote goes. I'm actually enjoying this game. last quote. Yeah, I like reading quotes. That's what it is. Okay, this one is this. I was gonna go. It's more of a thought than quote, and links are in the show notes. And there's a lot, way more than this, right? But I'm sticking to the one that got my attention and goes, surround yourself with people who fight for you in rooms you're not in. Okay, let me skip to the second one. Okay, I mean, that's a good one. That was the second one. Beautiful souls, recognize beautiful souls. Keep being genuine. Your people will find you. Amen. Effort is a direct reflection of interest. Remember that. Amen. Yep. If you feel off, go back to nourishing the basic of what makes you you. You know what? I will. There's a lot more. I'll let you scope for them for yourself. I found them on Instagram, and the person who shared it. Their name on Instagram is Stay Close to Yourself. Oh, nice. Interesting. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's, all right. Now, okay. That concludes quotes. Let's jump into Some randomness. Sheer randomness. I just realized randomness for me is probably like the equivalent of banter on the Black Eyed Tips. But whatever. Needless to say, I was just listening to them, so it was that's why that memory is fresh in my mind. All right, first item. Okay, projects, personal projects. Let's start with personal projects. On the last podcast, I talked to you. I talked about how the situation I'm at work, where I'm just joined this project, and it's behind schedule, and we're committed to doing this thing, and my the top guy, the most knowledgeable person of the product that we're trying to install, set up. He's like, yeah, it can't be done. Management is convinced it can be done, or told the client it can be done. And I got this dude telling me it can't be done. And I remember saying, how the fuck do you answer that interview question? Well, again, this is a life experience, gang. This is all life experience. Right now, all I could tell you is this is my strategy. I don't know if I had a mentor, I would ask this question, but this is the strategy I'm choosing to take is I'm pretty much trying to get in the head of that top guy in a sense of okay not getting their head but essentially let me see the feel how you let me understand this product as much as I can let me I'm just learning seeing it through his eyes and two things will happen either I will reach his conclusion and be like, yeah, wow, you're fucked. Or I will find, okay, this is what you're not seeing. Oh, this is what we could do different. Like, that's the only stress. All I know is I got a boss saying it's got to get done. And I guess I'm just trying to find a solution to this problem. So far, the interview question, the interview answer would be, if in an interview if I'm being asked, hey, what do you do? You're a team lead on your new project, and your more senior staff is telling you it can't be done. And the thing is, I relate. I've been in situations where I was trying to convince the people on top. It's like, yo, this is a bad idea. But the motherfucker is like, dude, we already cashed this check. We got to do it. Sink or swim. But yeah. So far, it kind of looks like there's a few things homie kind of overlook. Like I'm seeing, and the funny thing is, I'm not usually Mr. Positive, but that's the situation I'm in. Kind of interesting. All right, man. All right, don't let your kids grow up to be team leads. Excuse me. All right. Speaking of, okay, so this was a work project, on personal project. I have a new hobby. I'm going to call it a new hobby. It's working with using AI, open AI, ChatGPT, to coming up with solutions that will turn into code, to finding ways to write code. So I okay, this is nerdy as shit. I created a system with AI. So I have a workflow for my podcast. All right. When this is done, when I publish an episode, then I set up, I do a bunch of cleanup, set up for the next episode. Right. And I keep finding ways to improve the process or to like automate it, like take some of the guesswork out of the work. Because on the previous iteration of Shut Up Podcast, which I like to refer to as the Old Testament of Shut Up Podcast, one of the reasons that caused me to quit is because my workflow or the process to publish an episode was a pain in the ass. I have a bad habit of like sometimes overcomplicating things. Like anyway, it was just it was complicated, and sometimes what would happen is I would record an episode, get tired, pass out, and then procrastinate on publishing. And as a result, I'd have weeks, months. I mean, first it was weeks, and then it turned months, and then to years without an episode being published. Like, yeah, if you're one of those people who used to podcast, and you want to get back into podcasts, like, start finding ways, make a list of everything you hated about the process and you trim them out. So anyways, I say all this, and this is fun because I get to write code. I get to, like, there's certain stuff that I can automate writing a program. And I'm not writing the program. AI is writing the program. But it is fun explaining the problem to OpenAI and developing a solution with it. Now, I gotta tell you, it doesn't develop the solution. You're working with it. It's a collaboration. It's just like bouncing ideas. It's helping you brainstorm. But one thing's for sure, do not let it write an assignment for you. Because, yeah, sometimes yeah, it could be a bad idea, and this motherfucker will still be like, yeah, all right. step one, smile. Trust the big button with a smile. You know, whatever, man. I just say, you got to be in charge of this shit. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyways, it's really fun. I'm enjoying doing this. Yesterday, I knew I was enjoying it because, I was excited to get in my room to work on it. And two, I was watching a movie while high, and I kept going back to, I kept trying to debug this one. There was something that wasn't working, and I was, like, debugging it. The fact that I was doing it while high and watching a movie tells me that it's something I enjoy doing. So, yeah, I guess that's, I don't know how to write that on a dating profile, some of my hobbies include coding. Ladies, I'm single. All right. All right, next item. So, I was going to mention this. Okay, all right. At the risk of... No, I had a thought while listening to an episode of Bill Burr's podcast. Now, I got to say, Bill Burr, one of the podcasts, it's not like on my list of favorite podcasts. I have like specific three of favorite podcasts that I listen to, enjoy listening to and everything. Bill Burr is every once in a while, he talked about what? You know, I want to check it out. Now, his episodes are long, right? But then again, all the other podcasts are also long. Here's the point where I'm going with this. I caught myself listening and being like, you know, laughing and like that, but I caught myself checking my watch and looking, oh man, there's this much time left, and being like, can't wait to get to the end. Instead of enjoying the journey, I found myself, when is this thing going to be over? Now, this is not me saying it's a bad podcast. Not at all. I bring this up because I remember telling myself, man, I wonder if people feel that way when they listen to my podcast. Or how much, I was thinking, why am I feeling bored? And I was trying to find ways, things I should avoid on my podcast, but it hit me. And this is a particular about podcasting, right? It wasn't the content. I mean, it wasn't Bill Burr's fault. Like on his podcast, I'm talking about Bill Burr like he's like he's a rookie. Like, you know, he's got thousands of downloads. I'm acknowledging. This is the point I'm trying to make here is, even though I was bored, it doesn't change the fact that it's a popular podcast. That's what I'm getting at. And two, the takeaway I can get from him is what I know when he's on this podcast, he's being his natural. It's his safe space. I'm talking what the fuck I want to talk about. I'm not trying to impress. I'm not treating the audience like a chick I'm trying to bang. I'm speaking my mind, and whether you choose to listen, it's up to you. And as a result, it creates an audience. Granted, it does help that he's a big-time comedian, and then, you know, he's got that likability factor, and people just, you know, people want to fuck with him. But it had me thinking of the idea of talking your shit and not caring about the audience. If they come, they come. I know some people say, oh, that's a terrible attitude to have for podcasting. But I mean, in the zone that I'm in, if I'm keeping it real, I'm just practicing speaking my truth. This is what it is, speaking my truth. Now, I still haven't figured out how to attract an audience to that, to this. But the real idea that I want to focus on is the realization as while having that thought of, man, I wonder if people listen to my podcast and get bored or click off and whatever, or like looking at the time. But it hit me. If a person is doing that, they're not my target audience. Which brings back to what I say, I purposely begin the podcast with, if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. I say that on purpose. It's meant to be a reminder that, hey, you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. But to the people whose tea I am, cup of tea I am, I'm grateful. I want to hear from you. It also reminded me of the times I've been in a relationship and I'd be with someone who, or you know, it's not limited to relationship, friendships too. But I was in a relationship with someone and we both didn't like each other. We got together for convenience factor, you know, convenience reason. But in the end, at the core, we did not like each other. And you can tell because they're always like, ugh, whatever, man. Ugh, you're going to code? Oh, my God. You're going to write some podcasts? You don't even have an audience. What the fuck? You know, they're nothing you do makes them happy. But for some dumb reason, you chose to be in a relationship with this person. There's a lot of people out there in relationship with people that don't like them. But they got a fat ass. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, I'm learning how to, I was going to say take my power back. I'm learning how to not give a fuck. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I went from this Bilber podcast to be like, and if you know anything about Bilber, he's the king of not giving a fuck. I mean, if he does, he doesn't show it to the audience. But I use the Bill Burr example as a reminder of talk your shit. And if they come, they come. Actually, it was an interesting section. He was talking about how there's a term he used on himself. He said, it's like he said, I'm a overnight 30-year success story. Meaning it took him 30 years to get to the point of being who he is. It wasn't like overnight thing. Whatever. I pick up some jewels. I love podcasts as a material, as a content, as an, I don't know if I want to use the word art form, but whatever. All right. Okay. Wow. This went on for long. Okay. Let me, jump to this one. Okay, I think I'm gonna. Yeah, let me jump to this one. This is another TikTok clip. Someone asked a very good question on TikTok clip, and I found myself not being able to answer. But and here it goes.
One thing that does confuse me about the '90s is how were y'all able to get updates on news and pop culture as quick as we were? Like, if somebody dropped a new song and your friend told you while you were at school, how long did you technically have to wait before you were able to check out that new song? Did you have to wait till it was played on the radio, or did you have to wait until you went and bought the album, bought the CD? Did y'all have CDs in the '90s, or did they come in early 2000s? I probably sound crazy with the last question, but I'm serious. I just want to know.
Yeah, if I was to stitch this be practicing. If I was to stitch this, okay, I'm pretending I'm stitching this video, and I'm gonna be like, young man, back in our days, we could see a picture for a quarter. All right, no, I'm kidding. no, okay, I'll be honest. I heard this question. I'm like, yeah, how the fuck did we do it? So a few memories I come back. I'm gonna go for a memory lane, right? I remember being in high school and a friend of mine, he had just gotten back from New York. It's usually, yeah, people got back from New York, so we would always get the latest, greatest. And he was reciting a verse. He had a song stuck in his head, and he kept reciting the words. And how it goes? But I remember the line, the part that got my attention goes, birthdays were my worst days. Birthdays were the worst days. Now we sip champagne when we're thirsty. And I'm like, who the fuck said that? And I remember he said the name Biggie Smalls. So what kind of, I remember being confused by the name Biggie. What kind of name is that? And but I remember it stuck to my head. And I guess step two would have been like one day minding my own business. And because we had much music. so in the States, you guys had MTV. We had much music. We had much music in English and in French, Music Plus. And my point is, video stations was how we found out about the latest and greatest and word of mouth. Is it word of mouth? Yeah, word of mouth. It's people going, yo, I just got back from New York. Y'all hear about this Wu-Tang Clan? I'd be like, what kind of fucking name is Wu-Tang Clan? And then, oh, these guys are whatever. But yeah, word of mouth, man. It was fun. It wasn't like the internet. One thing that has changed, I miss from the old. I was that guy who would go to like HMV. I don't know if you guys had HMV in the States, but music stores where you bought CDs. And I'd be like, I had a large CD collection. Actually, I still have it. I have it in my storage room. I just had to, I used to enjoy going in that store and buying shitload of tapes. And it was fun. You would buy the album, go home, find some time to listen to the whole album, to the project, the whole thing. And it was like, every once in a while, you know, for the most part, you would get some idiot who would like one good song on the album. That sucked. But when you had like a really good album, like Illmatic, that's why Illmatic is so revered. Because you had left it on play, beginning to end. If you were lucky, you know, you had your driver's license and you were driving to Montreal or to a big city. You know, that's when you would listen to the whole album. But I remember that was used to be the statement. I'd be like, yo, what do you think of blah, blah, blah album? Oh, I still haven't finished it yet. Yeah. Sorry, I'm answering your question. I'm remembering how the appreciation, like you took your time to process an album. But yeah, no, that's all we had, man. We had the radio, but except I lived in Ottawa, so Ottawa was like pure white. It's like, fuck that. we don't want to stir up the good Negroes in Ottawa by playing rap music on the radio. So, radio wasn't really. Oh, I lie. The college radio stations, you know, if you're lucky, at Saturday night, they'd play some hip hop. That's right. DJ Duckett's. what was the name of that? Blended Dummies. Oh, my God. Jeep Beats. That's right. I forgot about that. Okay. So how you would discover it would be like much music, local DJs. You'd probably be at a party and be like, what the fuck did you just play? Oh, took it off, blah, blah, blah. And you'd write the name down on a pen. Literally, you can't write on the phone. You'd write the name down and you'd go to, you know, whatever, check it out, but follow up. But yes, it was DJs would break records. Oh my gosh, shut up. I'm embarrassed. Shout out to the DJs. Yeah, they would break records, and I guess that's how you would discover new music. Hope that answers your question. Okay, yeah. See, that can't be a stitch, because that was way too long. But yeah, anyways, I really enjoyed this question. let me see the comment section. MTV actually played new music and new. Yeah, man. It was cool that people would go to New York, cross the border, and you'd come back. I still remember when Naughty by Nature first album came out. Fuck. What was the name of their first album? Naughty by Nature. By Nature. I'm really blanking on their first album was called the one I had OPP. Oh, it was called Naughty by Nature. yeah, but I remember I was in New York when You Down With OPP was like the latest jam, and everyone, pretty much everyone was playing, because in New York people would walk with, you know, their boombox. It was playing, cars passing around, and yeah, then I'd get to Ottawa and no one knew what the fuck I was talking about. And then this was like probably September. I don't know, it's winter time. I heard the music playing in the club. And I was like, yo, I was there when he created that song. I'm like, I acted like those people who were like, you guys are so behind. September 3rd, when it was released. Nope. Okay, released September 3rd, 1991. Okay. Oh, the album. But what about OPP? OPP came out August 24th. Yes, I remember it was like summertime and then hearing it in a club during the winter. Anyways, that's how you discovered music. There was no, check out this link. I'm trying to, and the thing is, it never felt like an inconvenience. It just, yeah. Wow. Needless to say, I was going to say, we didn't discover a lot of new music. Huh. Anyway, all right. This concludes, randomness. What time is it? Yeah, no, okay. I'll save, confronting con artists for another episode, but I'll leave it in the other links section. I'm cleaning up my agenda as I'm talking to you. All right, let's jump into feature thought. But before we do that, we're going to take a break, a small chronic break. And we are back. Nous sommes de retour. Okay. So for this feature thought, I'll be honest with you, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to play the whole clip. Oh, it's in French. So I'm going to try to get the gist of it and translate it and translate the gist of it in French. But I remember her speaking, and there's something, that first statement, she says, je ne suis pas effrayé à l'idée de pas être apprécié. That translates to, I'm not scared. I'm not afraid of the idea of not being appreciated. And I remember reflecting on that. It's like I muted what she was saying and just reflecting on that idea and being like, how? I worry about that shit on a regular basis. And it had me thinking, what's it like being self-confident? So let me play everything she has to say, and then after I will share my reflection, like off the top of my head, on what I just heard.
Je ne suis tellement pas effrayée à l'idée de ne pas être comprise. Je réitère, je ne suis tellement pas effrayée à l'idée de ne pas être comprise, de ne pas être acceptée, de ne pas être validée, de ne pas être considérée, parce que j'ai une tellement belle et forte opinion de moi-même, et je sais que ça va paraître arrogant, mais je réitère, j'aime tellement l'humain que je suis, avec les qualités, avec les défauts, avec les manquements, avec les facilités, avec les skills, avec ce que je ne sais et ne sais pas faire, que bébé, je n'ai pas besoin de ta validation. Que tu acceptes, que tu comprennes, que tu ne comprennes pas, ce n'est pas de mon ressort, et d'ailleurs ça ne l'a jamais été. Il y a ce que tu as décidé de faire de moi, et ce que je suis vraiment. Et c'est ça qui compte vraiment, d'accord? Il y a ce que tu as décidé que j'étais et ce que je suis. À ton avis, lequel compte le plus pour moi? Petite devinette. You understand me? Et c'est ce que je souhaite à tous les individus qui abritent cette terre. It's like, sois tellement en paix avec la personne que tu es, sois tellement en accord avec qui tu es, que peu importe ce que je ne sais qui pourrait venir dire sur toi ou pas, ce qu'il va aller raconter ou pas, tu sais que ce que tu dis là, ce n'est tellement pas la personne que je suis, mais si tu as décidé que c'est ce que j'étais, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Baby girl, baby boy, just do that. I'm not here to convince you. Je ne suis pas là pour te convaincre que je suis une bonne personne, que je suis fantastique. Bébé, si tu ne le vois pas déjà, ce n'est pas de mon ressort. Moi, je le vois et ça me suffit. Ok? Et je remarque que ça irrite tellement personne. Il voudrait que tu t'expliques, il voudrait que tu passes des heures à expliquer ce qui va pas, ce qui n'a pas été. Bébé, la seule raison qui pourrait me faire m'expliquer, revenir sur un sujet, c'est avoir l'impression que j'ai heurté quelqu'un. À partir du moment où je sens que j'ai heurté, là je m'excuse. Mais une fois que je me suis excusée, que les excuses ont été acceptées, l'histoire pour moi c'est de l'histoire ancienne. Si tu veux la ramener ad vitam aeternum, ça c'est ton problème. Moi je m'en lave les mains. À un moment donné, je réalise que c'est aussi une technique de manipulation. D'ailleurs, c'est une manipulation, une forme de chantage affectif, en fait. Il y a des gens qui veulent vous menacer avec cette peur d'être validé, cette peur d'être accepté, cette peur d'être... Tu sais, il y a des gens qui ont très peur d'être le méchant dans l'histoire de quelqu'un d'autre. Ils ont trop peur d'être the violent. Baby, I'm not afraid of that. Oh my God, you're gonna be shocked. Si même après mes excuses, même après mes explications, mes tentatives de te faire comprendre le pourquoi du comment, tu as décidé que I am the vicious person in the story, let it be. Qu'ainsi soit-il. Alors quoi, je suis censée te convaincre toute ma vie, te courir après pour que tu comprennes à quel point I'm a good person, baby. If you don't see it, it's because you decided not to see it. I will not run. I will not give my energy for you to understand that. Sachez qu'il y a des gens qui sont faits pour voir le bon en vous. Et des personnes qui fondamentalement ne sont pas nécessairement faites pour ça. Et donc, ils ne vont pas voir le bon en vous. Ils vont préférer se concentrer sur ce qui n'a pas été, sur ce que vous n'avez pas fait de bien, sur ce que vous avez fait qu'ils pensaient que vous n'auriez pas dû faire. Sauf que cette vie-là, c'est la vôtre. Vous êtes né pour ne faire que de votre vie celle qui vous convient le mieux. D'accord? C'est votre seule responsabilité under this earth. Make sure that everything that is yours, that God have put in your life, is the more en adéquation avec qui tu es. Le reste, est-ce que c'est de ton ressort? Tu là, tu te fatigues matin, midi, soir. Pardon, papa, sache que les gens vont retenir ce qu'ils ont envie de retenir de toi. Et tu ne pourras rien y faire. Pourquoi gaspiller ton énergie? Pourquoi avoir aussi peur d'être qualifié, d'avoir le rôle de l'antagoniste finalement? Pourquoi avoir autant peur de ça? Qu'est-ce que tu crois? Que tu vas avoir la place du héros et de la gentille fille dans l'histoire de tout le monde? Et sache que si à un moment donné, tu as le rôle de la gentille meuf et de la gentille fille dans l'histoire de tout le monde, c'est que quelqu'un est en train de marcher sur quelqu'un. On se demande qui c'est. À un moment donné, c'est pas méchant, mais la gentillesse ne paye pas. D'ailleurs, elle n'a jamais payé. Parce que ça veut rien dire. Pour moi, c'est vraiment le terme le plus transparent de la langue française. Le plus neutre, le plus chelou. Il ne veut rien dire. Être gentil, qu'est-ce que ça veut dire? Finalement, c'est dire oui à tout, être agréable pour tout le monde, tout accepter, tout tolérer. Baby, comme je l'ai dit tantôt, je commence à être belge. It's too much for me right now. Hey, tantôt! Dingue. Bientôt, je vais dire ainsi. Whatever. Ce que j'essaye de dire et ce que je voudrais que tu retiennes de cette vidéo, c'est qu'à un moment donné, il s'agit d'être fidèle à toi-même. De te regarder dans la glace et savoir que toi, du début jusqu'à la fin, tu as fait ce qui te semblait être juste. Le reste, ce n'est pas de ton ressort. None a concern of mine. Not even a bit. Okay.
I should mention that she's a fine, fine woman. She's a pretty, pretty, pretty black woman. Fine woman, fine woman. Focus, be focus. It's what I'm trying to say. It's not just that she's fine. It's I believe that shit. Wow, so many thoughts. Okay, first I'm going to start with one of the quotes that I read earlier. It goes, did I really lose it? It goes, yo, don't be scared to be disliked there, that one. sorry, need some Tums. One thought that came to mind when she was speaking was, excuse me, the line by, I think it was Malice. He goes, I'm tired of being humble. Humble gets no respect. Let me get the actual line. I'm tired being humble. Humble gets no respect. Virginia, okay. And I like how Google figured it out. The line, okay, it goes, I tried being humble. Humble gets no respect. Now the first sign of trouble, that's a hole up in your neck. Okay, a little aggressive. But second thing I was thinking about is, okay, let me back up. I said, I'm not scared. In French, the what was written was, I'm not scared of being I'm not scared of being, not being appreciated. But what she actually says is, I'm not scared of being misunderstood. And the thing is, for me, that used to be it wasn't a fear, but it was it's something that I hated. I hated being misunderstood. even to the point of, I'm just going to stop talking. I'm not going to engage in this conversation out of the fear of being misunderstood. I was in a meeting last week and I said, I was asking questions about something, right? And then when I got the answer, I'm like, damn. Oh, shit. Okay, you know what? When I got the answer, I was like, oh, well, duh, you know? And I joked about how, hey, look, man, I'm new on this project. I'm entitled to asking dumb questions. Now, I was being funny, but I felt after, I was like, yeah, that was a little too self-deprecating, especially for these people. They got the laugh that I wanted. But it also made it clear, what I'm getting at is, I guess I'm less scared of being misunderstood. And fuck it, man. Ask your questions. That's what I'm known for. I ask a lot of questions. And let some idiot go, oh, well, that was a dumb question. What if it was? It wouldn't have been a question. Whatever. Anyway, so, yeah, don't let people like that. Yeah, and it goes back to the other quote of about beautiful people. Really? Did I really close everything? Oh, my God. What I said about beautiful people. It's like, have you noticed how beautiful people give compliments? The people on top, the people doing well, like to see other people doing well. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's only the people at the bottom who need to, like, step on others to feel great. They're the ones saying, like, oh, that was a dumb question. And yet we validate these people. Anyway, getting back to what she was saying. Yeah, one line she said is, j'ai une forte opinion de moi-même. And that goes on what I was saying as, it translates to, I have a strong opinion of myself. So she doesn't let, if someone is like, oh, you look ugly, well, that's your idea. That's your problem. You're the one with bad taste. But I remember listening to her, I'm like, damn, I wonder what that's like, having a strong opinion of yourself to the point that you don't allow others to bring you down. And I fucked idée de moi-même, strong idea of a strong self-concept. I know who I am. Going back to, I like repeating this quote from Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, Tyrion quote. The one about, never forget what you are. The rest of the world will not. Wear it like an armor, and it can never be used to hurt you. And I guess that would apply, you know, if you're like a little person, you got to hang on to that because you're going to be surrounded with people saying dumb shit. But it's powerful that it came from him. Never forget what you are. The rest of the world will not. Wear it like an armor and it can never be used to hurt you. Yep. Yeah. Oh, I love this one. She said, sois tellement en paix avec toi-même. Being in peace with yourself, being so much in peace with, like, that's what she wants for the people of the world. Being so much peace of yourself that other people's, like, unbalance doesn't mess with you. Don't be scared to be the villain in someone else's story. Yeah, man, and be, like, fuck it, man. Let them misunderstand you. Anyway, look, two reasons, it was a powerful idea. I think it was even more powerful communicated to me in French, and because it forces me to process what she's saying and engage different brain cells to process that. But I appreciated the message, and I end it with, I wonder what it's like to not fear being misunderstood, to have a strong opinion of yourself, to be so much at peace in yourself that other people's chaos doesn't bother you, and being willing to be the villain in someone else's story. Now, what's funny is, I say this shit for some of you people that's like, oh, no, that's easy. Now, I say this because it forces my brain, by asking that question, it forces my brain to figure it out, to get from where I am now to there. And who knows, maybe one day I'll be making videos like her articulating the same message. The one thing, okay, last point. The one thing I do know is The reason why part of this has been it's a confusing topic for me is because I had a moment in my early adulthood realizing that everyone who I thought was an example of self-confidence, high self-esteem, weren't, or at peace with themselves, weren't. They were just good at masking it. They were good at, because they're usually the ones who want to lecture you about, oh, well, you need to stand up for yourself. Or you need to, you need to not care about what other people think. Except me. You got to care about what I think about you. Anyway, all right, man. I'm not going to go say more than I need to say. Sometimes I feel like I got to treat this podcast like a marathon and talk more than I need to talk. No, homegirl said it. Homegirl said everything that needs to be said. What you heard from me is me processing what she said and trying to apply it in ways that make sense to me. Because hopefully I would like to be one day the one who teaches others or explains to others not fearing being misunderstood and having a strong opinion of yourself. And overall, being confident. But until then, I'm going to wrap this up. And this concludes today's episode. hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. I didn't cover any politics today, didn't I? Whatever, we'll keep it that way. You know what? I am not sure if there's going to be an episode. There's going to be an episode next Wednesday. Okay. If there isn't, then I'll put up a message because I'm going to Montreal this weekend. So, all right. So, I'm a little excited. I just need to get my shit organized. But, like I said, this concludes today's episode. Website is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Wait, what did I say? Shut up podcast. Okay. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Rap City on Much Music. Hint. I also represent for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then middle finger, fuck you too. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.